Would you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 7. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 7. I just want to say a huge welcome to those of you, if this is your first time to change, hey, welcome out. This is a different Sunday. We are out of town, but coming to you virtual, ready to preach the word. I can't wait to be with you next week, live and in person. Hey, we're going to come back and dive into one of the final parts of this series. But welcome out today. Make sure you fill out a connect card so we can connect with you and do life together. All right, let's read together in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 7 says, "But after a while," everybody say, "after a while." It's been some time. And I don't know if you're in that part of your story where it's been a while. It's been a while. You've been living some life and things have dried up. We have to give a little context to the story before we actually dive in, because we have Elijah and he's been out in the wilderness and there's a drought on the land. And yet God was providing for him with a stream of water and a raven that would bring food all the time. You got to read the story, the whole entire story, to give all the story here. I'm not going to give it all to you. But just give you a little context. Elijah was by the stream, and this thing was his resource. Nonstop, he had drink, and he had food from heaven. And then it says, after a while, the brook dried up. I want to speak to somebody today that your resource that you once were drinking from, the resource that you once were pulling from, it's been a while. And now that resource that you once had feels dried up. I want to talk to somebody where the stream has dried up. Maybe you're in a chapter right now and you're in part of your story where things that were growing now feel like they're dying. You're in a season where all of a sudden that which was giving you life now is feeling like it's draining you. But after a while, the brook dried up. For there had been no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, verse 9, "Go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you." So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" And as she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. And I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you've said." But make a little bread for me first. Everybody say first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. I love this story because we got a lot happening, and I want to unpack it a little bit because I want to first off look at Elijah. And Elijah was in the wilderness with this resource of stream that had now dried up. And now, once what he looked at as a miracle, now was sucking life out of his story. And so God told him, "I want you to go live in a new land. I want to take you to a place where you haven't been before. And I want to provide in a way you haven't been provided for in this season yet." I want to speak to somebody because I believe that there's a part in your story where God is going to move you into some new things and providing for you in new ways that you've not yet seen God move in your life. I believe there's a whole new chapter that you're going to unveil and see the Lord in a whole new facet. I believe there's parts of the Lord that you haven't encountered yet because you're too relying on the stream that's dried up. And God wants to speak over you today. I want to stir a hunger for something new. I want to stir you to move from where you are and to move into what I want to provide for you in the next season. And what you looked at once for resource now is no longer where God wants to provide for you. I believe that God has something new he wants to do. So Elijah moves. He moves on the word of God. How many know this is the hardest part to do while you're suffering? Ah, man. When after a while it's dried up, it's the hardest thing to obey God to move in the middle of your mess. When you're like, God, I'm praying for blessing and you're telling me to move? You're telling me to do something? But yet I just need you to pour it out. Yet I found time and time again in my life that when I obey God, I actually step into what he's doing. Obedience is a way for us to get involved with what God's already doing. See, the Lord pours out in mysterious ways. And I love how he provides for Elijah because in this whole story, we have two things going on. Number one, we have Elijah with the stream that dried up. And then on the other side in Zarephath, you have this widow and her son that now are running out of flour and oil. So we have two prayer requests going up. Lord, I don't have no water to drink. And then the widow praying, Lord, me and my son are about to die. And so Elijah moves to Zarephath on the word of the Lord. Maybe some of you here today, you're going to move. You're going to take steps. The Lord's going to encourage you, and maybe he already has. Maybe you already have it written in your journal this year. Maybe the Lord's already speaking over your story, and he's saying, I want you to move. I want you to go. And maybe that doesn't mean move houses or move locations. Maybe that's just moving spiritually. Maybe some of us, God's calling us to move and do something, to put action behind our faith, to not just sit in it, to not just glean from the same water that's always been there, but God's saying, I want to move you to new streams. I want to give you new life. I want to revive some things in you that have been dead because you've just been sitting by the stream. And I want to take you to where I can do new things in your life. I can do new miracles. And I want to provide in a way that you've never yet seen before. And so Elijah moves in to a new territory. And I believe that the Lord wants to move us in this year. And this year of torrent, when we're leaning into his word is always in motion. Did you know that? His word is always in motion. And so when you're leaned into him, you realize that we're always moving on his word. I want to get something in your spirit today because I think sometimes we mistaken waiting on the Lord as sitting still. Sometimes we think that if we're just going to wait on the Lord, we're not going to move until we're totally 100% confirmed. And so we're just going to sit there and wait. And yet, what I've realized throughout the Word of God is that Jesus speaks something before we're confirmed in it. And Jesus moves on action. Jesus doesn't move on someone sitting by the wayside. It always happens. The miracle always takes place. He always moves on someone moving. And so waiting on the Lord is this picture of us moving on his word as we trust him. And when he says, I want you to move from the streams that I once had plentiful, now that are dry, I want you to move into a new territory, one that you don't know where your resource is coming from. Not a new stream, a new resource, a new place where I'm going to use. But we have to trust him that he's a provider. So Elijah asked the woman to get him a drink and also some bread. Now, look at this, because the woman, I'm sure she was lifting up prayers, right, to the Lord, like, Lord, save me and my child. Lord, give us enough food to eat. And then the Lord sends someone into her life that's going to cause the miracle to take effect in her answered prayer. And yet, Elijah, when he shows up on the scene, asks for the one thing that she doesn't have. Elijah asks her for water, and then he asks her for some food. And yet the woman was looking at what she had, and she said, "We don't even have enough food for us. I was about to make my last meal, and yet you're asking me for food." And I love this because he asked for something the woman only saw limits when the Lord had his hand on it to multiply it. See, this is the part of the story that it's hard because you got to trust God in what you don't see. You have to trust God on what it can be multiplied, not what is multiplied. You have to trust God in the things that when he puts his hand on it can become more than what you see right now. When we trust God, it's not a picture of, okay, I see a bigger blessing, so I'm going to jump into the bigger blessing. He's saying, move to a land you don't know and go to a place you have no idea where it's coming from and give what you think you don't have. And on that thing, I will multiply it. I will make it something that you can't. And the woman, she obeyed the word of the Lord. I have to ask you, what are you looking at in your life right now as limits and barriers? That God sees opportunity for multiplication. Woo! What do we look at right now? What are we looking at in our life? Whether it's financial, whether it's relationships, whether it's time, whether it's something that God's called you to build. What is it that you're looking at with limits and barriers saying, God, I don't have it. You're asking me for what? You're asking me to give this. You're asking me to give my time. You're asking me my talent and my treasure. But God, I don't even have enough for me. I mean, I'm gathering sticks right now to just sit here and die. And some of you have given up on your dreams. You've given up on your calling. You've given up on what you thought God called you to do because all you see is limits. All you see is barriers. Well, what if? What if God doesn't show up? What if the miracle never takes place? What if I pray and it doesn't get answered? What if I trust people and they hurt me? What if I come back into relationship and it's a messed up? What if, what if, what if, what if? And God is calling you today to trust him to step into something that we might look at with limits, but God looks at it to multiply it. And look what happens. The woman makes him bread and brings it to Elijah. And in that obedience, when she moves on the word, then God answers. God answers. Your obedience right now to what God is speaking is going to become your miracle. I remember when we answered the call. And this takes me back in my life to when I was a child. And my parents instilling in me that when I hear the word of the Lord, I need to move on it. I remember as a young child and feeling called to, we got those little things in the mail. I don't know if you've ever gotten them with the kids overseas and they don't have enough food or water and you can donate and provide food for this much a month. And I remember receiving this as a young, I was probably 12 or 13. I remember bringing it to my parents and saying, I want to do this. I feel like the Lord is calling me to, like, sponsor one of these kids. Like, well, hey, if the Lord calls you, you got to do it. I remember being raised in that environment where they're like, hey, if he says it, you got to do it. If he speaks a word, you got to do it. Because you don't know what's on the other side of that. And now I stand years later, standing in the middle of my yeses, standing in the middle of saying, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. I don't see the outcome, but I'm going to do it. I remember saying yes to Philly. That was the hardest yes I think I've ever made. Because there's so much attached to it, so much that I had to give up in order to step into it. And I remember that yes being so difficult and us saying, you know what, us as a family, we have to make this decision to say yes to the Lord. He called us to move, and it was moving locations. It was moving into an environment that we had no idea. It was moving into a new land. But today I stand, and I can't tell you how many of those that when we're doing an outreach or we're doing a church service and I'm talking to somebody and they're saying, man, we prayed for a life-giving community. We prayed for something to come into this neighborhood. We prayed for a good group of people. And I'm thinking, God, I was by a stream of water and it dried up. And you said, you got to move. I want to do something new in a new land. And when we moved, not only did you provide for us a church, a community of those that do life with us, but now we're answering someone else's prayer. Those that are praying saying, God, we don't have enough. God, we don't have enough food. We don't have enough flour and oil. We're just going to gather some sticks and the dream is dead. The life is dead. There's no hope outside of this. I'm telling you that your yes can not only answer the prayer of God over your life, but I believe that it's multiplying into other stories as well. And God doesn't just want to overwhelm you with his goodness, but the goodness of God has the effect on everybody around us. Family members, work co-workers, those in our schools, those in our workplaces. I believe that God wants to pour so much out on us that it overflows. Elijah said, man, you'll never go without. I'm reminded of this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed, joyful, nourished by God's goodness are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who actively seek right standing with God, for they will be completely satisfied. Come on, somebody say completely. I love when God gets involved, the hunger is active, but he pulls from the fullness that we can't achieve on our own. When we trust God, we come into the fullness of who he is, and he pours out into our lives what we can't gather on our own. I believe that when we come to the Lord, he gives us a desire for the things of him. I want to talk about that hunger today. And pretty cool, we're sitting around tables and chairs and eating food today. But I believe that the Lord wants to create a hunger in us for the things of God. I believe that God wants to create a hunger in us to follow his word. That every day we wake up and I wonder what the Lord is calling you to do right now. What he's wanting you to do in this season with what's in your hand. And to stir a hunger to say, Lord, I desire today to follow you. I desire today to go after the things of God. I desire today to gather more of what you have for me. But it comes down to craving the correct things. It's about craving the things of the Lord. And cravings can be trained. So I have to ask you, what have you been chasing that you need to lay down today at the Lord's feet? I think about this with the woman. And when Elijah came on the scene, he asked for something that she was chasing after. And I wonder what you're chasing after that the Lord wants to use in order to multiply your house. I wonder if there's something that you've been seeking after, maybe the stuff or the things. And you've been saying, God, if you just give me blank, I'll be good. This woman, if she had gotten her prayer, it would have been, Lord, just give us another meal, enough to eat again. And yet the Lord wanted to do more than what she could wrap her head around in the time that she was praying. How many are thankful that God doesn't answer our prayers specifically how we pray them? And that God knows us better than we know ourselves. That God provides way beyond what we could ever even ask or think or imagine. And I believe that's what God wants to do in this season in you, is he wants to provide so much, but it comes to us craving and desiring and chasing the things of God. The Bible says that when we seek first the kingdom of God, then all the things, all the added stuff follows us. And I believe that God wants to create a craving in us that we go after him. I love Philippians 4:19. It says, but my God shall supply all. Man, somebody say all. I love these words in here. One, it says completely full. In Philippians, he says all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I love this promise because not only does it come with what God will do, but it comes with where it's coming from. How many know that we serve a God of endless riches and His glory? We serve a God with cattle on a thousand hills. Our God is not in need. He's not lacking. Our God is a God of resource. And I believe that when we trust in Him, when we crave Him, when we go after Him, that it can't help but to pour out His blessing on His children. And I wonder what the Lord wants to show us in this season as we get hungry for Him. And I pray that today that we've come to eat food together, but I pray that today the Lord is stirring a hunger in you to go deeper in relationship with Him. And maybe you've been praying over something, saying, Lord, fill this need. And yet the Lord wants to fill you with Him. The Lord wants to take you to a place with Him where He fills all the voids. He fills all the holes. He meets, yes, the need, but He meets you where you're at. I believe it's in that space that we step into outpouring. We don't just step into meet a need, meet a need, meet a need, meet a need. We step into there's so much, now I can feed me, my son, and Elijah. This is what I believe the Lord wants to do in your life, is He doesn't just want to answer your prayer. He wants to pour so much out that you start answering other prayers by the miracles that are happening in your life. I believe that the multiplication effect happens when we trust God with our lives, when we sow what He's called us to give, when we pour our lives into a relationship with Him. He is our provider. And how many know that when He provides, it's overflowing? The Bible says that He pours so much that it overflows. My cup overflows with the goodness of God. And this is where God wants us, to crave Him, to seek Him. And then in that, our oil never runs dry. Our flour exceeds what we ever need. And we provide meals not only for us, but for those around us, saying, look at what the Lord has done. He has done so much for us. We are glad. We are joyful because of what He's restored in us. I believe that God wants to stir that hunger today. And as the worship team comes, I want to step into a time where we surrender to God, but step into a time where we ask the Lord to stir us and to stir the hunger inside our hearts, to take us deeper into the things of God. I wonder if you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor, I want more of God in this season. I want more of what He can speak over my life. Maybe some of you feel stirred. You feel called to go deeper in the things of God. Maybe you're like Elijah and you're by a stream and it's dried up. And what was once a resource in one season now seems to be a wasteland. And yet the Bible says that in those wastelands, God creates a stream of living water. And this is a season where God is drawing you into a place of trusting Him, to have more hunger for Him than you've ever had, to come into a deeper relationship with Him where you're moving on His word. If that's you today, would you stand with me? Everybody standing right now, just lift up your hands. And right now, just as we lean into who He is and what He wants to do in this room, I believe that He wants to stir a hunger in us. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I want a hunger for the things of God, can you just lift your hand and say, Lord, fill me with a hunger for You. Lord, fill me with a hunger for Your presence, a hunger for relationship with You. Take us deeper into not only praying for stuff, but God, praying for a shepherd, praying for the one who leads us and guides us every day. God, a hunger for knowing You deeply. I'm believing that today, as God stirs a hunger in us, there's things that we're going to get in place. There's habits and disciplines and things we're going to put a part of our life to keep that relationship growing, to keep going after Him, to keep going deeper. And as we worship, I just encourage you to lift your hands, say, and continue to press in what the Lord wants to do. Maybe some of you feel that stream dried up and God wants to call you into a new land. And today you're saying, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I want to step into what You have for me. God, I've tried it on my own. I've tried finding another place, but Lord, I need Your word. I need your word. Maybe some of you are here today and you need that word. We're going to pray for you. Pray that God speaks that word over your life. Pray that God speaks that word so you can be confirmed to walk in that. Maybe some of you are like the widow with the son, and you're like, I don't have enough. Maybe you've been praying, God, fill the need. And today, God's calling you to surrender. To surrender that thing in your hand, whatever it is. Whether it's your time, whether it's your talent, whether it's your treasure. Whatever that is that you've been going after. And today God says, seek me first. Seek my kingdom. Seek relationship with me. And I'll fill all the needs. I'll follow you with all the things you need. I'll pour so much into your cup that it overflows. That's what God wants to do in us today. Come on, if you want that, can you raise your hands and say, Lord, I surrender to what you're doing. I surrender to your word. God, show me. God, teach me. God, stir a hunger in me, a hunger for more of you, a craving for your presence.